Hi, I'm Rachel Montalioni and welcome to Kittypedia, the podcast. I'm not an expert. However, I do speak with them with the view of providing you with expert information and advice to help you be the best parent that you can be. Together, let's give children the life they deserve and a positive future. Hi there. Hope you're having a lovely day so far. Now, I've got a question for you. Have you heard of a doula before? And if your answer is no, well, that's completely okay. And we're here today with our special guest, Renee Adair, to talk all about it and what their role is in this ever-changing landscape during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, just a little bit about our guest. Renee Adair is the founder and principal educator of the Australian Doula College, the Groundwork Program, and the charity arm, Doula Heart Network. Sorry if I can get my words out. Now, Renee first began working with women and babies back in 1994 as a massage and aromatherapist and Reiki practitioner, and in 1998 began studying and working as a doula and a childbirth parenting educator and birth counsellor. And she's been a regular contributor in pregnancy and parenting publications. And we're very fortunate to be in partnership with the Australian Doula College, the Kittypedia just being one of them. Overall, she's done some amazing work. And back into the 2013, also published one of the first journals for the doula research as well. So she's done some incredible work, and we're really, really grateful for your time today. How are you today?
Hi, Rachel. Thank you for that epic introduction very much. And thank you for taking the time for meeting with me.
Well, you've done some incredible work in this space and for the industry. So, you know, I'm the one that's grateful for your time and your expertise in this. So thank you so much for joining us. And
that's kind.
and more so than ever, you know that, you know, pregnancy is a time of so much happiness and excitement. Yes. And all that wonder and expectation for women and their families. However, of course, like during what we're going through at the moment with the pandemic, I guess we should be even more mindful of the heightened anxiety that pregnant women and couples trying to conceive are going through, and the concern that they have about their own health and, of course, that of their unborn baby. So I'd love to know from your perspective initially, you know, what changes have you seen to the way couples are approaching parenthood during this time?
Yeah, I think, I mean, as we all know, pregnancy and an impending birth and being parents is already a daunting task. It already brings anxiety with it just naturally, because we, you know, often from the moment of conception we've bought in, you know, we have a buy-in, we're emotionally plugged into that little bean, and it's a massive journey. So already having levels of anxiety and excitement, of course, now women are faced, and their partners are faced with a lot more challenges than, you know, we have ever seen in our lifetime. It's really extraordinary that a woman having her first baby at the moment is, you know, having her appointments with her midwife, for example, like this, over a Zoom session or a FaceTime. You know, women cannot sit in classes to become educated at the moment, which is very challenging. You know, doing a class online is great, but it's not, I don't think it's the same as, you know, having interaction with someone, you know, face-to-face and getting that hands-on support. So that's breeding a lot of anxiety. Doulas are currently not being able to be in the birthing space. That is breeding a lot of anxiety for our clients, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, I'm sure. But that in itself is problematic, you know. We've got also a lot of partners who might have two other, you know, families might have two or three other children at home, and there's no one in that family's bubble. So, you know, sometimes dads need to stay at home, and someone else is going to the birth of the baby. And so partners aren't being able to be with the baby. Then we've got the postnatal situation. Services have been cut a lot in homes postnatally. That is breeding a lot of anxiety. So it's not a normal situation, and there's a lot of stress, you know, and I think we're going to see a big rise in postnatal depression, which is really scary because wow. we already have a massive postpartum postnatal rate in Australia, postnatal depression rate, I beg your pardon, in Australia. It's already quite high for the number of birthing women that we have in our country. And that concerns us greatly as doulas. You know, we're really worried about that. And we already know that, you know, postnatal depression, you know, when you look at some of the research that has come about over the years, a lot of it is directly associated with the way that the woman felt about her birth experience. And we know that isolation is also a problem and breeds that postpartum issue and feeling and depression and sadness. So those two markers are huge. And, you know, without the support, you know, we are going to see a rise. And I think we need to think about that some more. And that might be another podcast for yep. you in itself.
Lock it in,
Eddie. It's a massive topic. So, yeah, I really feel for women right now. You know, they are being isolated away from family, which is extremely difficult. Aging parents, you know, perhaps they can't see their parents. And the concern for and the well-being of their baby is amplified, absolutely amplified, yeah. you know. So, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a scary time. I wouldn't like to personally be pregnant right now. I think it would be really tough.
Mm. And I guess before we like dig deep into all the relevant COVID-19 stuff that's relevant for right at this moment, I'd love to start by establishing a few quick questions to help our audience understand all the wonderful work that you do. So to begin with, could you just tell us what is a doula?
Yes, good question. What is a doula? So traditionally a doula is a woman, someone who it supports you physically and emotionally and spiritually through the journey of the latter months of your pregnancy. We attend the birth and then we can support you postnatally. We offer continuity of care and options and choices and support not just mum but partners and dads, which is great because they're often in the birthing space now and certainly more involved than they have been over the last, you know, couple of decades. Mm-hmm. So we're there to support families and provide families with a soft landing place so that when they get home, they've got that support and that nurturing, which traditionally you probably received from a wise woman in the village. Maybe it was a mum or an aunt, but now we have so much separation from families. We live away from family support. We don't have a lot of that tight community, small yep. village mentality these days.
Yep.
And even if people do find themselves with good family support, they still want a doula. Mm-hmm. They want someone to help them with a birth plan, and they really need and want continuity of care. Disappointingly today in Australia in our maternity healthcare system, not everyone is afforded a midwife. You know, that one-on-one care, and often you can see multiple people during the course of your pregnancy and sometimes even the labour and birth. So it's nice to have that one established relationship that can see you all the way through.
And how would you describe, I guess, the benefits in hiring a doula?
Oh, there's been a lot of great research about the benefits of having a doula, which is very cool. But I think, you know, anecdotally is where I always come back to is the hearing the parents themselves talk about the benefits, the differences, say that they didn't have a doula perhaps for the first pregnancy and birth or postnatal period, and then they do. And they totally feel like the experience was much more theirs. They were able to take more ownership. They felt like people will say that they felt like they really understood their options and choices very clearly, like really clearly, and that they stayed empowered and made their own decisions along the way. And I think that in itself is really powerful. And when I hear women say, for example, their birth plan really does deviate and perhaps they've expectations were not quite met, but and they perhaps have had an unexpected outcome, but they still feel pretty good when we debrief them, when we get home after the birth, because they feel like they've had some sense of control through that experience.
Yes.
And that's very powerful. And the doula does that by helping them ask questions along the way, perhaps buying time in the birthing space, making sure that we exhaust all of the options that we know of that we can, so that if, say, for example, a cesarean is required, that mum knows she did absolutely everything she could on the day. Yes. She gave it her all, and the baby just had a different idea, you know? And that just makes you feel better, yeah, right? You had a sense of control. I think when we step into any big transition in our lives and we have support and love and someone who's nurturing us that we've established a relationship with, that transition is still going to be tough. It's still going to be challenging.
Yes.
But we know someone's holding us.
Yes.
And really that is what makes the difference right there.
And so couples are sort of going into the phase of planning of having a baby and they find mm-hmm. that they are expecting, at what stage of the pregnancy should a woman or a couple consider hiring a doula then?
Mm, that's a really good question. We get, I love the calls when we have had calls where women have literally peed on a stick and and said, I haven't told my husband yet, but I really, 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 really want you to come back and be my doula. That's with clients I've had before. And some people will call us very late, say at 40 weeks or 41 weeks, and we've even had some people contact us in early labor.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Not ideal. Yeah, not ideal. Our suggestion is around...
Hang on for a second.
I know, right? I know, just a minute. I'll be right with you. About that 20-week mark is pretty good, 22-week mark. Is a good time to start to really reach out and engage a doula. For those women who have chosen to have any testing, all of that is out of the way. It gives us enough time to plan,
yeah,
plan out, our appointments with them. And to book any earlier is often very difficult for the doula, just to promise that I'm going to be there in, 9 months' time down the track. It is easier to work sort of, a little bit more backwards and be like, okay, well, you're 22 weeks or 20 weeks now. I can look at my diary and go, okay, I can put that time aside for you there. So about that time is good. And it's also just around the time that a lot of people are choosing their childbirth education. So we can help with that. It's a good time. It works.
And it sounds like it's a very personal relationship that you end up having with a doula, and as you mentioned before, the lady that had just literally peed on the stick and she's, I want you to come back and be my doula this time as well. So in that instance, is it hard to find a connection, and or do you suggest maybe interviewing a doula? I mean, if so, what sort of questions should couples be asking during that initial phase where they are, I guess, finding the right person for them?
It is such a personable job. There's really not a lot of jobs like it, where you get to share some of the most intimate moments with a woman and a couple. I mean, you're going to see her naked, you're going to see her vajayjay. It's all out there in the wind, in the breeze. And it's really important that you have some kind of connection and that they trust you and, you believe in them, that's really important. And during, we always suggest an interview. And if you call the college, we've got a great doula services manager who takes the booking for the client and then, really goes about finding the best doula for them. Which is very cool. If you're hopping on the internet and just looking at doulas that are on the internet or Facebook, you can find some awesome doulas everywhere. There's awesome doulas everywhere. I do recommend interviewing and face-to-face. Face-to-face is important.
Yeah.
And making sure that mum and partner are in that interview. I think is important. You really, I think, find it very quickly, a connection or not, because it is, you're already going in thinking this person is going to be at my birth experience.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, you get a feeling, I think, you go on that vibe and trust that vibe.
Yeah.
I think if you are going to ask any questions of the doula, it's really good to find out what their philosophy is.
Yes.
What's your birthing philosophy? Where do you, you know, I don't believe that it's important that a doula has had a child themselves. And I think that, you know, some of the best doulas we've got have not had children themselves. So I think that's kind of irrelevant. Although some people do want that, they will ring us and say, I want someone who's, you know, been through a birth experience. And it's interesting because, you know, we have doulas who have just had cesareans. We've had doulas who are home birthers. I'm a home birther myself. You know, we've got all kind, everything that you can imagine, younger doulas and doulas who are in their 60s who come to study. And it's the passion that's in us. None of that matters. Mm. We're all willing to get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning for you or 3 o'clock in the morning and be present to you.
So,
and that's a feeling. I don't think you can ask a lot of questions. I think you just get the vibe.
Yeah. And I've never heard the phrase of birthing philosophy. So what would be a few different philosophies just to give some scope, I guess, an understanding of
what. Yeah, so I mean for me it's really that I would believe in you, I would trust you. My philosophy around birth is to trust it.
Yeah.
It is to believe in the client and the woman and to have a depth of knowledge around what the mechanics of birth look like.
Mm.
To know what's normal and what's not normal. And philosophy can also be around choices and options. You know, there are doulas around who are certainly not in our ilk, but that really don't respect women who choose an epidural. For me, that's really uncool because it's not my experience. Not my experience. If you want to have an epidural, if you want to have your baby hanging off a chandelier, I'll get the ladder, you know. If you want to have your baby in a theatre and have a cesarean, we'll have the best darn cesarean possible. I'm going to make that happen. It's going to be awesome. So my philosophy is really it's all goes back to the client. What do you want? What's important to you? But you might pick up, if just by asking that question, you might pick up that the doula, you know, might have some negativity around the fact that maybe you're wanting to choose an epidural straight up. So you're not going to go with that doula.
Yeah. So and these are the types of things that you typically discuss in prenatal meetings and or what else would you typically discuss?
Mm-hmm. So really in those meetings before labour and birth, we're building rapport. That's probably the biggest trick, is to really build a lot of rapport and trust, have a lot of fun. And we work through the birthing plan or wish list or preferences that the client might have, and that gives us an opportunity to really start to unravel what their vision is,
yeah,
and what they're wanting from this experience. And it might be that they don't want to feel, she doesn't want to feel any pain. Great, let's write that down. Let's make that happen. And it might be that she's the woman that chooses to have the water birth, you know, with the dolphins playing in the background, you know, and chimes and candles and all of that stuff, and that's also fine. So that gives us an opportunity then to really nut out an ideal scenario for them. And then I can speak to that during the labour. So I will always have a copy laminated and whack it on the wall of the birthing
space.
Love
that, laminated.
Yeah, laminated. Got to be laminated. And then I can speak to that because I like parents to advocate for themselves, but I speak to the birth plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a slight little difference there. But, yeah, it's good. Then everybody knows what the aim is and what the direction is. And so if you start to deviate from that, you can talk to the health professionals that are, you know, there to help you. But, you know, it's like, well, hang on, we didn't want that. That wasn't in our plan. Can we talk about that? Can we take a minute? What are the options? What are our choices? What will happen if we don't do that? And it comes back to that.
Hang on just for 1 second. I've just got a puppy here at the moment that may need to just go to the bathroom. Hang on.
So go.
So I guess the question is, so what are the benefits of a doula being present at the birth of a child then?
There's a great benefit to having a doula present at the birth. I think in the first instance, it's someone that you have already met and established a relationship with that's going into the birthing space with you, which is perfecto because a lot of women, as I mentioned earlier, don't get continuity of care with a midwife. And so it's nice to have a familiar face, someone that you trust in that birthing space.
Yeah.
We get to back up partners. Some partners, you know, if the birth goes long, might need to take a nap and the doula might need to shut her eyes in the corner for a minute. Tag team, help each other to help mum have this the experience that she wants.
Yeah.
And I think too, we really, as I mentioned with the postpartum depression stuff, you know, we can really help in the labour to help mum understand what's happening, particularly if the plan or her preferences start to deviate a little or a lot. It's important to be able for mum to understand that she's exhausted all of her options and the doula's there to do that and create a loving environment. Like going in and really taking ownership over the space is something I like to do when I first arrive. Mm-hmm. Get parents to, you know, bring photographs if they'd like and a pillow from home if they'd like, or, you know, I bring a lot of oils and electric plug-in candlelight and it just to create a really beautiful space that you'd want to birth your baby in.
Yeah, and there's so much planning that goes obviously before the birth and then during, but then how long does a doula stay after the birth?
Yeah, good question, Rachel. So that varies from birth to birth, actually. Mostly I'm in the room for about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours post-birth. It really depends on how the birth went for that family, how the baby is. I always make sure mum, if she's able to, has a shower. I always make sure that she's comfortable in fresh pajamas, that she has had a piece of toast and a cup of tea, and that the baby's had a breastfeed, and that I've taken lots of photos. I help the midwives clean up the room, you know, maybe put some fresh sheets on the bed, make sure that dad or partner is happy and included, and I make sure they get some skin-to-skin time. You know, so it's just really, it's a beautiful time, actually. I mean, some parents, you know, after I've done the initial cleanup, mum's had the first breastfeed, it's like, you know, Renee, you've been with us 24 hours, it's fine to go. And there are some that they just want you to be there and just help them out a little longer, and that's fine too.
Now, you mentioned something at the start of the chat, which I just want to clarify, but can a doula actually be a male, or is this more of a I just want to ask the question, can a doula be a male?
Sure. Look, I'm sure a doula could be a male. It's certainly not my preference. I feel like there's already enough male energy in the space, and I feel like it is traditionally women's work. And I do feel like the doula looks to you as for another woman in that space, and that's why she's hired you. It's a little bit of a controversial question, actually, but I kind of stick to that. I really do believe it is women's work. Yeah,
and I guess it would be. It is a really privileged job, I guess, for a doula to work with families and to see, I guess, so many of those magical moments that you were just talking about before as well. And obviously to experience so many opportunities when you see for that very first moment where the parents lay their eyes on their baby for that very first time. These are just, you know, magical moments. But I guess along with that, that there are sort of added pressures and stresses to the job currently at the moment. So getting back to, I guess, our current environment with this COVID-19 pandemic at the moment, a lot of these changes are sort of making a doula's job a lot harder. You know, could you just maybe just explain, I guess, the shift and the difference in what would be a normal sort of birthing experience with a doula and where we're at currently at the moment?
Look, I really, it is the greatest privilege every time that we are there. Well, I just feel honoured to be asked in the first instance, and then to go on a journey with a family, whether it's baby number one or eight, is exquisite. It is, I think, hands down one of the best jobs in the world. And it still brings me to my knees, that moment when parents look into the face of their beautiful little baby and what they've made and created together. And it just takes your breath away. And, you know, I'll never forget that moment for myself at my, you know, the birth of my son and daughter. And you never do. It is magical. Yeah. And, you know, I do feel really blessed to be in this role. Sadly, right now, a lot of us are feeling, you know, stressed out ourselves. I mean, our clients are stressed out, but we're feeling a lot of anxiety for our clients because we can't go in with them. So we're not able to fulfill the part of the journey that I feel like we do a lot of good work in.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it's tough. So we have at the college been really quick. I really feel like we got on top of things pretty quickly and started to talk to our students and our qualified members and our beautiful community about how do we work around this, because it's a hurdle, it's a hump, it's not going to stop us working with women. And I feel like families need us now more than ever because of the lack of other services around.
Yes.
So our doulas have made an incredible commitment, the ones that are still working, to isolating, so self-isolating at home, which has been my choice in order to keep working. I'm doing some postnatal work at the moment, which is critical at this time. A lot of women are frightened about staying in hospital, so they are discharging themselves very early, sometimes straight as soon as they can post-birth, which is 6 hours in New South Wales.
Wow.
And going, yeah, because they don't want to be in the hospital. They're really frightened. And so we've been able to support them postnatally in the home, thank God. So we are still supporting women there, which is crucial. We're also offering extra antenatal support and education for the partners to prepare them to go in and be amazing. Yes. And supportive in the birthing space and really taking on that doula role. And also we're offering virtual doulas. So some of our doulas have been in the room virtually with the clients, either over just telephone or FaceTime. We have had one couple take a computer in and sit it down, the doula is with them for several hours, which is amazing. Labouring a little bit longer at home with the clients, so they're really in good established labour, and then literally dropping them off at the hospital door. So it's just been a big journey, I think, you know, to try and work around how we can continue to support people, because that's what's important.
And have you seen a shift in the amount of people actually opting now for a home birth as opposed to a birth in a hospital?
It's been huge, absolutely huge. I think my midwives, I saw somewhere this week, actually an independent midwifery group, they have had an increase of 500% of inquiries.
500? 500. 500.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of our doulas move over from supporting hospital births, and the couple has decided to look for an independent midwife and move to a home birth. And some of them at 39 weeks in their pregnancy.
Oh, my goodness.
38 and 39 weeks. Yeah, incredibly stressful decision to make, but an important one if you feel like you're going to be safer there. Your choices around birth must always be around where you feel you're going to birth best.
Mm.
And what does that look like? That looks different for everyone. And I really feel like there's been a great campaign and push to have Medicare pay for home birth and to try and get more independent midwives, you know, back, you know, working again in this country. We have a shortage of independent midwives. And home birth has been proven time and time again to be a safe and viable option with a qualified midwife. So why don't we have that as an offer? Of course. So fingers crossed, it might push our government to make some decisions that they've been dancing around for a long time.
And how else have you actually seen birth plans have changed due to, I guess, all the levels of restrictions we've got at the moment with COVID-19, given that they can only have X amount of people in the room at the time and those types of things? Have you seen a big shift in birth plans at the moment?
I think there probably hasn't been a massive shift. There's certainly been a shift. And it's been more around, I feel like, women's decisions around do they want to do that, when do they want to leave the hospital, when do they want to arrive at the hospital, you know, and they want to say, I want to arrive late, I want to be ushered into my room, I don't want to be seeing other people, you know, is it possible for me to only have one or two midwives in the room, and how early can I leave because I don't want to go to the postnatal ward. So these women don't want to be exposed to other women potentially, you know, or COVID potentially. They might have to share a room. Their partners might have very little visitation. If there's other children, siblings can't visit in the postnatal ward at all. So it's those kinds of decisions that they're really having to think about. And postnatal support as well. Mm. And I think really when we're talking about the birth plan, how we're negotiating is really around the partners stepping up to be that advocate in the room.
I was just about to ask that question.
Yeah. And what does that look like for you, man? Like, where are you at with that? And whoever that partner might be.
Mm-hmm.
So really empowering them to understand.
Mind.
Yeah. What that experience might look like and then what's normal.
Yeah. You know? So with doulas not being able to attend the labour and the birth and hospital, in the hospital and partners having to step up, as you just said. So what advice do you have that you could give them as the main support person in the room?
I think some of the most important issues of discussion that we've had has been, particularly if it's baby number one, so they have no experience at all and feeling very out of their depth. So offering childbirth education, and we've been doing that online. I managed to put my balanced birth childbirth education program on a learning management system that we have, and we've been spending some time on Zoom with clients and helping them understand what's normal and the stages of labour so that they've got a gauge and then how through those different stages of labour can you support, what can you offer. So really teaching them a lot of acupressure, reminding them they can use the bath, the shower, rocking, dancing, you know, reminding them to eat and drink themselves. So often new support people will be offering the woman, something to drink, but they forget to do it themselves. And I have seen men faint in the birthing space only a few times, not because anything, the baby was coming at the time, but they hadn't actually had anything to drink, you know, and we'd spent hours in a bathroom and dehydrated and down they go. So, and also to take a break themselves. So if a midwife is in the room, go take a break. It's actually okay. take a break, freshen yourself up and come back. So those kinds of tips and tricks, and reminding them that we're on the phone for them should they need some extra help.
Mm. And there's a quote of yours I would love to use at the moment. So this is quoting you. A doula does not come flying in with a superhero cape on, but rather she helps you find yours. That is just so powerful and it's beautiful. Mm. So look, we've spoken.
I think that's the essence of doulaing, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, we've spoken about a lot today. If you were to summarize, I guess, your key messages for families either planning or expecting a newborn at this time, like, I don't know, what's your key advice at the moment?
I think the key message that I want people to really take home is that just because the doula cannot be in the birthing space with you right now, don't not hire one. You know, we can help you before the birth. We can prepare your partner. We can be there straight after the birth and help you postnatally. And we are happy to do so, particularly at a time where there is going to be a rise in anxiety for women and their partners. I really hate to say it, but we are going to see a rise in trauma and associated with birth and postnatally. There's going to be postnatal depression is going to be on the rise. The help is here. Call us. You know, we are willing and able and educated, following all of the COVID-19 health guides. We've all done a COVID-19 training. We are all isolating when we're not with our clients. For those of us that are working, some have made the decision not to because they have little ones at home or elderly family at home. And, you know, we're just trying to keep everything as normal as possible, which is challenging, but it's doable. And a doula can definitely make a big difference, particularly at this time.
Well, we're so grateful for your time today. Now, if families want to get in touch with you and or sort of engage the support of a doula, whereabouts can they find you guys?
Hey, so you can find us at www.australiandoulacollege.com.au and all the details, phone numbers. There's a Find a Doula page there for experienced doulas, but if you wanted a student, and they're very affordable and amazing, you can just call us and we'd be happy to help.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and I can't wait to chat again soon. Take care.
Oh, thank you so much, Rachel, and thank you to Kidpedia for doing all of this great work and getting all of these good messages out to the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. All right, bye.
Take care. Bye.
I'm Rachel Monteleone and you've been listening to Kidipedia, the podcast. You can have full access to Kidipedia by visiting our website at kidipedia.com.au or following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter and YouTube. We're all here to help make the world a better place for our children and for generations to come. You can start today by helping us reach other parents by going to Apple Podcast, subscribe, rate and review this podcast. Thank you for listening and be sure to give my love to the kids.